time for Radio X.
Radio X. Your host, Jimmy X.
Radio X. And that would be me, Jimmy X, and hour number two of Radio X underway here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, coming to you live this Sunday, February 21st, 2010. My guest, John Moore, and if you're just joining us, he's the host of The John Moore Show. He does two different radio programs. He's also a researcher and author and a whole lot more. You can find out all about him and what he has to say, what he's been writing on, and information about his radio broadcast at his website, thelibertyman.com. And if you'd like to call the show today with whatever's on your mind concerning this topic of climate change and what we're in for, you can reach us at 1-866-841-1065. And John, I guess what we need to do right now, and of course this is a short segment, but let's kind of see if we can kind of lay this out succinctly during this short time okay. We have. You say that the beginning of this is going to have something to do with this 10th planet. What is this? Is what's been referred to?
Well, there's the 10th planet.
Right.
First of all, it's a cyclical thing. It's recorded twice in the Bible.
Okay.
The most recent occurrence was during the time of Moses' passage, the Exodus out of Egypt. 3,600 years before that was the flood, Noah's flood. About every 3,600 years, we go through these events. And depending on where you are and how your preparations are, you have a better or lesser chance of surviving these matters. The 10th planet is 3 to 5 times the size of Earth, with a much larger iron-nickel core, much more dense core. And when it swings through our solar system coming up from the south, it interacts with our planet and the rest of the planets in our sun with electrical energy and gravity, causing massive disruptions to our planet, possibly a pole shift. It's not a guaranteed thing. But if we could have perhaps up to an 18 to 20 degree shift in true north, not magnetic north, which is already moving dramatically,
yes,
but true north, which would disrupt these oceans and bring them out of their basins, causing these tidal waves. I didn't know this, but it's common knowledge in every geology section of every university. There's a bulge of water at our equator, nearly 500 feet above where sea level is measured at Cornwall, England. And this extends north and south of the equator hundreds of miles in each direction, which means literally millions of cubic miles of water above what we call sea level at Cornwall, England, held in place by the rotation of the Earth and gravity. Anything that disrupts the rotation of the Earth will disrupt that water, causing massive flooding on all coastal areas worldwide. And that's what the Navy's concerned about, and that's what the Navy's been preparing for. That's what the Navy's been telling these men in classified briefings since 1979. Gentlemen, this will happen. If it's not going to be your children's lifetime or your grandchildren's, it's going to happen in your lifetime. So you better move to the Ozarks. You better get ready, because it's coming.
Right. And of course, and again, and we pointed out in hour number one that the time frame is where you take a major issue with...
Time frame is basically right now.
You know? Right. As a, not 40 years in the future like we're being told.
Yeah, right. We're already seeing very strange things. For example, April the 8th last year, in my neighborhood, I'm in the Missouri Ozarks, many hundreds of miles from the nearest ocean, which is the Gulf of Mexico. Jimmy, we had a hurricane here on April the 8th, 2009. Even the local FM radio station was calling it a hurricane, because it was a Category 1 hurricane. Now, in traditional meteorology, that can't happen.
Not
but it is happening.
Right,
it's happening on a much more frequent basis.
Right. Well, there's all sorts of wacky weather going on. So, John, we have to take the first break of this hour. We'll be back with more. John Moore is my guest on the broadcast today. TheLibertyMan.com is the website, talking about climate change and the effects. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us. All right, folks, hour number two, Radio X, underway here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. And again, a reminder, if you'd like to join us in the Radio X chat room, come on in, oraclebroadcasting.com. Click on the chat room link, scroll down to Radio X. Click on that, come on in, say hi. Lots of folks in there right now. listening into the broadcast and chatting about it. And if you'd like to call in to the show, you are free to do so. 1-866-841-1065, our toll-free number. 1-866-841-1065. My guest on the show today, John Moore, and we're talking about his research paper, No Need for Panic. John, actually, that was published in 2006, is that right?
Well, the first edition, and it's been revised three or four times, mm-hmm. was late fall 05.
Okay.
I revised it a number of times, and it was the basis for the foundation for my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, which came out in the early fall of 08. And it's still standing the test of time this year and a half.
It's, sure.
You publish something worldwide like this has been, my DVD, you're putting yourself up to public scrutiny, and there has been no factual criticism whatsoever. People say they don't like it. People say they don't want to believe it. But nobody has found any factual errors whatsoever in my DVD.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait to have a look at it. So when we get done today, I will.
I need your mailing address.
Yeah, right. I'll give you my mailing address, right, so you can send it along to me. I'd love to watch it. And I recommend, folks, that you visit John's website, thelibertyman.com. Check this all out for yourself. All the information that we're talking about and a whole lot more available there. Of course, I believe that they should be able to pick up the DVD there as well, right, John?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, there's another DVD I need to mention.
Okay.
And this is critical. I didn't produce it, but I make sure, in fact, I have to order a fresh case Monday because they're going out the door faster than I can keep them in stock. When it comes to matters involving planets and things like that, people want credentials from the people making the comments. Now, I'm a homicide detective. I'm not an astronomer. But how's this for credentials? Supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory, Dr. Robert Harrington, being interviewed in his office at the United States Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. Now, if your career path is to draw a paycheck for looking at stars, Jimmy, I don't think you're going to find better credentials or have any higher place you could hope to be promoted to, do you?
No, I guess not.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, right, yeah.
On this DVD, the title of it is Are We Alone in the Universe? He's being interviewed by Zachariah Sitchin, who, of course, has done a lot of the most important work in this area by picking up Babylonian clay tablets. And you take one look at this guy, Sitchin, Jimmy, you say to yourself, yeah, here's a man who spent 50 years in a library, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right, sure.
But he can do that. He can pick up Babylonian clay tablets and read them like you and I can read the newspaper. But he interviewed Dr. Harrington in his office. And Dr. Harrington outlines the facts regarding Planet X as scientific fact, not as scientific speculation, giving its size, its density, and its orbit right there in his office at the United States Naval Observatory. This is more than 20 years ago, in the late 80s, when he granted this interview.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly afterwards, now, during the interview, you can see this is a healthy, vigorous, strong man. He announced publicly that he was packing up equipment and going to the Antarctic to look at this thing. However, he did not get the memo. The memo being, if you talk about this stuff publicly and you've got the right credentials, they'll kill you. About 6 months later, he was dead, allegedly from a fast-acting form of cancer.
Really?
Really.
I don't think
even pancreatic cancer can kill you that fast.
I don't think so either, but I mean, this is opposed to the three bullets in the back of the head ruled a suicide.
Right, right. Yeah. Arkansas, mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, there was enough of that to go around, wasn't there?
Right. Men that shoot themselves twice in the chest, you know, that kind of
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And
right.
Of course, that's perpetrated on the public, and they go, oh, okay. You know. And, you know, I think that's one of the things. I mean, one of the things we talked about off-air was when you brought up this 10th planet, that you said that actually after a while you didn't talk about it all too much because...
Well, it's almost irrelevant. And the Navy never mentioned the 10th planet to these Navy veterans.
Sure.
You know, if you're in the submarine corps and you attend a classified briefing,
mm-hmm.
I attend a lot of classified briefings because of the nature of their work. You get to the point in your career where if you got people with credentials in front of you making statements, you accept it as true. And I need to go back to Tim Spencer, for example. Him and his wife are Florida natives.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having lunch one day. It was during one of my pistol classes. And his wife says to me, while Tim is sitting there and we're having lunch, She says, John, we're from Florida. We don't like ice. We don't like snow. We don't like cold weather. We don't even like Missouri. But we're here because of that darn map on your DVD.
Yes. And to clarify, he has a map that, and I have a picture of the map, which is based on information that you've garnered from these
folks.
We recreated the Navy map, right, showing the areas of the country that will be underwater.
Right, exactly.
Right, just to clarify that for our listeners.
Well, and it's very foundational and very important, everything we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
This map is real. I didn't pull this out of my head. It's not a map done by a psychic. There's about 20 of them. Gordon Michael Scallions is probably the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I've shown Scallions' map to the Navy guys, and their comment pretty much is, Scallions' map is fairly accurate from the Rocky Mountains east, except for Wisconsin. The Navy maps all show
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin pretty much being gone. But Scallions' map from the Rocky Mountains west is totally off, and the Navy shows far less damage to the west coast than Scallion's map does.
Mm-hmm.
But the map is critical to understanding these matters, but it gets a lot deeper than that.
Right.
What people, the first thing they want to do is find their house and see where it is in relation to the water, and that's understandable, or Aunt Nellie's house in Florida, or whatever it might be. What people need to understand is there's going to be literally tens of millions of refugees pouring out of these coastal areas and looking for safe havens. The Navy regards all areas east of the Mississippi as not suitable, even though they'll be quite safe in terms of climate, altitude above sea level,
mm-hmm.
Growing season, and so forth. But they're way too close to all these refugees that will be looking for safe havens, which is why the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks is looked at so favorably. It's west of the Mississippi. It's a long distance from any major body of water. It has a fairly mild winter compared to farther north.
Sure.
A decent growing season. A fairly homogeneous population. And not really close to any major population center.
Okay.
Okay.
No. Okay. I didn't know if you were done. Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, what do you see for folks like along the Great Lakes?
I'll tell you what the Navy sees.
Okay.
The Navy sees the Great Lakes becoming one Great Lake, stretching all the way to Hudson Bay, becoming a new inland sea. That's what the Navy sees.
Oh, okay.
The Mississippi River will be 100 plus miles wide, a couple hundred feet deep, wiping out, like southern Illinois, for example, a good chunk of Illinois will be wiped out.
Yeah.
The new Gulf Coast will be at the current. Louisiana, Arkansas.
Wow. So of course, this is far bigger than we're being led on to. John, we have to take a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes, folks. More Radio X, a fascinating discussion with John Moore. Don't go away. There's more to come. And we are back with more Radio X here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. I'm Jimmy X, your host. My guest on the show today, John Moore. Check out his website, folks. That's thelibertyman.com. TheLibertyMan.com. All sorts of interesting information there. And of course, you can find out about John's radio programs and more about John at that website, thelibertyman.com. And John, before we went to break, you started to talk about an interview with Robert Harrington, and we kind of got sidetracked. So why don't you continue?
We did. As I said off air, Jimmy, this 10 minutes with Dr. Harrington on this DVD titled Are We Alone in the Universe? It's pure gold. It's kind of funny. I was working with a publicist to get some radio shows a couple of months ago, and I was mentioning Dr. Harrington and his credentials. And the publicist, she was kind of a doubting Thomas, I guess you could say. She said, well, do you have anybody else with better credentials? And I was incredulous. you won't find anybody in that career path with better credentials. Maybe some that are equal to, but none better than the supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory.
That's right, of course.
One of the men I work with, he's an astrophysicist, Professor James McCanny. Professor McCanny is a credentialed scientist in this area of expertise. He's written a number of books, several of which are very targeted on these topics. And I urge people to become a student of Professor McCanning, like I have. Get his books, read his books. He has a weekly radio show also. There's a link from my website, thelibertyman.com. If you want current scientific information, Professor McCanning is your man. And he and I are in agreement that by December 21st, 2012, these Earth changes will either be already over or so far underway, it won't matter. This 2012 stuff is disinformation, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people hurt. Because most people, if they think something's going to happen December 31st, 2012, they won't do anything before January 1st, 2012.
Right.
And that's what's going to get people hurt.
Sure. Well, now, John, you've laid out basically in this report, No Need for Panic, three phases that you see are going to take place. Now, could you kind of give us some detail on that? Well, I guess you're suggesting we're in phase one right now.
Well, I'd say we're more like, and I just wrote about this, made a note to myself the other day.
Okay.
We're quite frankly, I believe we're in phase two.
Okay.
Phase two is when we start seeing weather events affecting daily commerce, affecting the way people live on a very frequent basis, not an infrequent basis. For example, up until maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, an ice storm would typically affect a few counties at a time in one state. Now we're seeing ice storms that cover 3 and 4 states at a time. And just as one tiny example, the hurricanes I mentioned earlier, hurricanes over land. Rainfall, where we get 18, 20, 21 inches of rain in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
These events are affecting daily commerce in entire regions. Hurricane Katrina, of course, is an excellent example.
Right.
That Gulf Coast will never be the same in our lifetimes,
mm-hmm,
for a number of reasons. So I think we're firmly into phase two. Phase three, of course, will be when these events become so dramatic that daily commerce pretty much comes to a halt. And we're not quite there yet. And what we're in right now is a time frame, and the serious researchers I know, like Professor McCanning, we do not give out specific dates. That's a foolish thing to do.
Sure.
It's a time frame, and we're already deep into the time frame of these events affecting daily commerce, affecting people's lives, affecting the gross domestic product and so forth. And these will continue to become more frequent, more violent, and more damaging as we get deeper into 2010 going into 2011.
Okay. Well, now, as we look into, you know, ahead to this phase three, I mean, you list some pretty scary scenarios here, and of course things that some people have been assuming all along will take place. Want to mention what those are?
Right. There's a good likelihood that martial law would be declared for reasons not related to climate change and rising ocean levels, because if it's related to a flu pandemic or terrorism, people would probably pay attention and do what they're told.
Sure.
If, however, the government tells you to do something and you know these oceans are coming up, you're not going to pay attention at all. You're going to get out of Dodge,
right,
and escape.
Right.
So I think there's a high likelihood that they'll have some pretext. It may be a swine flu pandemic, maybe nuclear weapons going off in American cities.
Sure.
Any number of things.
Right. And don't forget, I just want to point this out because we've talked about it before. Back when Bush was in office, he did sign an executive order saying that martial law would be declared in the case of any emergency in
right.
this country. So,
right.
And of course, so far, and Obama, of course, it shouldn't be a surprise, has no intentions of taking that one off the books. So,
well, quite frankly, Jimmy, when it comes to saving human life, martial law can and does save human life if it's used and properly and implemented properly.
Mm-hmm.
Because millions of people on the move with no destination, no potable water, no source of food, is a very dangerous situation. And going back to my bio, I sat across the interview table from a lot of men and women charged with the most vile crimes that you can imagine.
Right.
And occasionally I've asked this question. The question being, if there was a major hurricane, earthquake, or something of that nature, what would your attitude be? And I've had these men tell me, John, We look at it as economic opportunity.
Hmm.
That's how career criminals look at any kind of emergency.
Sure, sure.
Look at the L.A. riots. Those liquor stores, electronic stores, gun stores, they were hit in a military, structured, organized fashion and cleaned out in minutes by organized gangs.
Right.
And
right.
That's the nature of criminal gangs and criminals, is to take advantage of anything that they can. And, of course, they'll take advantage of these kinds of events if they have the opportunity.
Sure. Well, 1-866-841-1065 is our phone number. Joe in California is on the line. What's on your mind, Joe?
Yeah. My question is, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
My question is, have you figured out as to whether there's a tie-in to chemtrails in this?
Possibly, Joe. What they're doing with chemtrails, they're making artificial clouds. What do clouds do? They have a cooling effect. Now, global warming, as put out by the government, is a scam. But the planet has been warming up a lot in certain areas, and these man-made clouds do have a cooling effect, that they might be looking for that to keep the surface of the planet a little bit cooler for a little bit longer. Lots of speculation. We've got these different chemicals that have been analyzed in these chemtrails, and they could be a secondary effect to reduce the immune response of people. That's another possibility. Are you familiar, Joe, with the Georgia Guidestones?
Actually, he disconnected. I guess
okay.
He's
well,
listening.
Well, the Georgia Guidestones play a role in this. And they basically provide the outline in eight languages on these massive stone monuments in a cornfield in Georgia, which I haven't seen yet, but I've interviewed people who have. And they talk about maintaining the Earth's population at 500 million people, which, of course, is a tiny fraction of the, nearly 7 billion we've got now?
Mm-hmm. A tiny right. fraction is right, yeah.
Right, right. And that's one of the goals of the powers that be, is
right.
to eliminate. And, of course, most of those they want to eliminate are non-Caucasians. And that... You don't know what racism is until you've been around these people.
I got you. Well,
you really don't.
John, we need to take a break here. Hold that thought. I want to come back to that in a moment. That's interesting. And your phone calls as well, folks. 1-866-841-1065. Again, talking to John Moore about his report, No Need for Panic. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Don't go away. And you are listening to Radio X here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. I'm Jimmy X, your host, joining me, John Moore. And, we were talking about the population control scenario. That thought did cross my mind, John. Although I think that maybe perhaps I see it a little differently than what you know, since I've not researched any of this, but that also wouldn't surprise me. I mean, this would be a way, I suppose, to get rid of about, three-quarters, if not more, of the Earth's population.
Very likely, and... The water, of course, would have a direct effect, but most crises like this, people die from drinking bad water.
Sure.
And getting diarrhea, dehydrating, and
mm-hmm.
dying. That's what's going on in Haiti right now, is bad water is killing people. And you may recall Prince Charles said that when he dies, he'd like to come back as a virus to kill as many people as he could.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Huh. Oh, yeah.
Well, you also mentioned that you think that this would affect almost exclusively non-whites.
Well, that's where they're focusing. There's a their attention. They want to wipe out China, for example, and some of these, like AIDS, for example, you hardly hear about AIDS anymore because it's not affecting Caucasians. Most of the queers died off already,
mm-hmm.
but the Black and Hispanic communities being wiped out and devastated by AIDS right now in February 2010. And there's hardly any media attention to it. It appears to be a very race-specific virus, disease.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's some speculation as to where that came from as well.
Right. Well, it's very likely a biological weapon.
Right, right. And I tend to believe that as well. 1-866-841-1065 is our number, 1-866-841-1065. If you want to talk to John Moore, and John, I guess Sheldon must have forgot a couple of points. Sheldon, are you there?
Hey, Jimmy. I got an echo here.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Anyway, Yeah, I just wanted to get this out too as a dot connector that back in June of last year, the military, which is actually NASA, decided to classify data on all incoming space rocks. And I'm trying to do a request with another RBN host, Ralph Winterod, for confirmation that this was put in the register, because there's a possibility it could be confirmed that way, because that could be a critical piece of evidence here. The other thing I wanted to mention, you guys were talking about hurricanes over land. This is going to become very common soon. According to Professor McCanny, back on June 15th of 2008, when he was a guest on John Moore's show, he said that there was a hurricane that literally covered the entire North American continent. It was not very widely reported, but we're going to be seeing more things like this in the very near future. And the other thing I wanted to mention was, is in regards to this Planet X type object, it doesn't necessarily have to hit us to cause great destruction. Professor McCanny calls it action at a distance, and for a prime example of this, this occurs daily. The tides on the ocean from the moon, and the moon is a very small object. So I just wanted to throw that in as an example of action at a distance.
That's right.
Okay, well,
okay, thank you, Sheldon.
Sheldon,
we appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for the call. You have any comment there, John?
Well, when the military classifies things, the traditional reason is to keep our enemies from finding out. That's why information is classified.
Okay.
Say, for example, about the latest guidance system on a missile or something.
Mm-hmm.
However, in this case, our enemies, the only real enemies we have on the planet would be conceivably Russia and China. They have imaging and space technology every bit as good as ours. So it's not a secret from them. They know what's coming. So who's it being kept secret from? Well, obviously, it's you and I. That's who they want to keep these this information classified and keep it secret from, is the American public, not our legitimate enemies across the oceans.
Right. Well, no surprise there.
No, not at all. Not to me.
No, not to me either. And I'm sure that most of the people listening are probably going, yeah, so what else is new?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, again, we were talking about how you broke this down into phases as to what's coming up. We talked a little about martial law, and I'm sure people have a different opinion than yours with respect to it, because most of us have been told, of course, that if there is martial law, it won't be a good thing. It'll be the end of all of our rights.
It will be.
Yes.
But, you know, at some point, Jimmy, you and I would declare martial law. When you see enough people being drug out of their homes, raped and beaten and murdered,
mm-hmm.
of course we're going to declare martial law.
Sure.
It's the right thing to do. Criminals are criminals, and in some of these cities like Los Angeles and Chicago, the gangs are just as well armed with automatic weapons. They have two-way radio communications, a chain of command, and training. They're not lightweight organizations to be taken and dealt with lightly. And during a crisis of this nature, these criminal gangs, which are highly organized, mm-hmm. very well armed, and trained sufficiently that they can be dangerous, they will take control if they have the opportunity.
Right.
And I don't want to get into a rabbit trail of discussing the merits of martial law one way or the other,
mm-hmm.
But when it comes to protecting communities, at some point, there is no other choice.
Right. Now, but you point out that what we probably will face will be national ID cards. You think that's going to be fully implemented?
I'm going to come in the back door to answer your question.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. Once the powers that be found out about this matter we're talking about, the 10th planet, they incorporated this into their centuries-old plans that they've had in place
mm-hmm.
for at least 200 years. They incorporated this into their pre-existing plans to take advantage of it and prepare for it. What they plan on, here's what they plan on, Jimmy. They plan on getting ready for these events, going through them, and coming out on the other side with their shiny new world order intact and ready to rule the planet. Those remaining alive, they intend to control every aspect of their life, and that's why the ID cards and possibly microchipping would be taking place, is to have total control over every aspect of our lives.
And of course, and once that happens, then some of the other points you make, the curfews, restrictions on our travel, sales on firearms, ammunition, alcohol, fuel will all be, of course, curtailed. I mean, no surprise, obviously, there either. I mean, this is what it looks like they're heading to anyway now.
Absolutely.
Ammunition's becoming harder and harder to find, for example.
Yeah, and, well, ammunition's ever since the November election of 08
sure.
has been both scarce and expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that changing anytime soon.
No, I agree with you there. And, of course, the big one that a lot of folks are possibly most concerned about, and that is going to be the shortages of food and probably a potable water, as you say, very possibly with ration cards, chips.
Well, the food will be there, but it will be too expensive for many people to purchase.
So if the government doesn't dole it out to you, you're out of luck.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Potable water is critical. Now, whoever controls the water will be in control of just about everything, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage people to store up freeze-dried food and bulk grains if they can't afford to freeze-dried food or some of each. If you're an urban dweller and don't have a source of water that you control, you should have several hundred gallons of water stored up. And, of course, good quality gravity feed water filters. Preparedness is an essential part of all this.
Mm-hmm.
Once you understand the problem, how close it is to us in time, you understand that getting ready is not optional. It needs to happen, and it needs to happen right now.
Right. Well, you obviously have a short outline for survival, including, of course, having the gravity filter in that. But you talk about food too, as you said. Get some storable food now. Don't wait.
Well, there's a lot of pressure right now on the water filter industry is under great pressure because of hedging. I think they're still making deliveries. I haven't talked to the people with Berkey for a couple of weeks. I think they still deliver product. I'm not positive.
Okay.
But, you know, there are 300 million people in the United States, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
If more than 1 or 2% figure out they need water filters, guess what? They'll be sold in a week.
Sure.
Right now, that's not the case. You can order your water filter, and 3 to 5 working days, it'll probably be delivered to your door by one of those nice young men or women from UPS or FedEx.
Right. So you're saying get it now. Don't wait.
Get it now while you can.
Right.
While we have what appears to be luxury of time to get food, get water, get medical supplies, get your communications equipment. Sitting in a crisis, and I've been there. I was in the Tet Offensive in Vietnam in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting there not knowing what's going on, it's human nature. Your mind will go to a worst-case scenario instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's human nature. Unless you can intercept the radio communications of your local police, sheriff's department, fire department, you'll be wondering what's going on. And if you're relying on AM, FM commercial stations to give you updates, it'll be slow and it won't necessarily be all that accurate. It'll be filtered through whatever reporting process they're filtering through.
Oh, absolutely. That is a given.
Well, you and I are in the business, we know that.
Of course. I can tell you that goes on now. So it can only be ramped up.
All right,
we have to take the last break of the show, John. Hang tight. We'll be back in 3 minutes. More Radio X on the way here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. Well, the final segment of the Radio X show for today is upon us. And your last opportunity, if you want to call in with a question or comment for my guest, John Moore, you can do that at toll-free 1-866-841-1065. 1-866-841-1065. And again, John's website, for those of you who are trying to jot it down, again, is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman, all one word, .com. And we'll give out the toll-free number, John, at the end of the show. Again, I don't want to confuse people with our toll-free and your toll-free, but we'll make sure we give that out. And, of course, I want you to mention that DVD you have, too, because it sounds fascinating. And we'll do all that. Right now in the last segment, though, we're kind of talking about now what do we do when the catastrophic effects of global climate change are upon us.
Right.
And we talked a little about food, of course, and a little about water, having potable water. We haven't touched on some of the other things, John. What next?
Well, the first and most important thing is spiritual preparedness. We know from the experience of American POWs, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, those who had a good spiritual foundation going into those conditions stood a far greater chance of surviving than those that did not. it's not my job or your job, Jimmy, to tell these people what their spiritual beliefs should be, but it is our job to let them know that they need to get their spiritual beliefs squared away and do it ASAP. After that come skills. The skills of for emergency medical treatment, the skills of a ham radio operator, and the skills commonly found on ranches and farms all over this country that men and women do 7 days a week on ranches and farms all over the country, along with the skills of being able to defend your family. And there are men who will take your teenage daughter or take your wife from you and do with them as they will if you're not prepared to stop them. So just keep that in mind. Now let's talk about some nuts and bolts here of items that people should have. First of all, at least one, preferably two, high-quality gravity feed water filters. And the Berkey water filter that you guys promote there is an excellent choice there on your radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, at least one 30 caliber, and I use 30 caliber in the generic sense of the word. There's many different types of 30 calibers. 30 caliber rifle and at least 500 rounds of ammunition for each adult. When I say adult, that's males and females 16 years of age and older. Next on the list, at least one cast iron cook pot with a lid, like a big Dutch oven, and at least one cast iron skillet with a lid, cast iron lid, not glass. Properly cared for, they'll last for generations and are excellent for cooking over open fires as well as in your kitchen. Next on the list, and the Army's telling their own people to do this, by the way, privately, get a truck, preferably a diesel truck, so you have carrying capacity. Diesel fuel is non-explosive compared to gasoline. If it's made before 1990, it's probably going to be fairly EMP-proof, electromagnetic pulse-proof.
Okay.
Next on the list, at least one heavy-duty four-season or canvas tent, not these little lightweight nylon things at the local sporting goods store. Those are meant for routine recreational weekend use.
You're talking
heavy-duty four-season canvas tents.
Right, you're talking serious survival gear here.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
A heavy canvas tarp can be used as an improvised tent also. Next on the list, at minimum of 900 pounds of grain, dried grain, per person. That's a one-year supply for an adult male or female. You need about 1,200 pounds of grain for teenage boys and about 1,000 or so pounds for teenage girls. Properly packed, it should last for many, many years. Packed in, you can use dry ice. Let the dry ice evaporate before you seal it. If you seal it before it evaporates, it'll blow up whatever you put it in. And then seal it up nice and tight with a food-grade 55-gallon drum. Mm-hmm. Or Mylar bags. Work out real nice. You can get Mylar bags from Granger, by the way, the largest industrial supply house in the country.
Yes, there's one right around the corner from me here, by the way.
There you go. Next, a comprehensive medical kit. Of course, you need the skills. You need emergency medical treatment skills. You need a kit equal to your skill level. I encourage people to get a Red Cross first aid course. Your local fire department may give first aid courses. There's something called CERT training, which is good also. They have a little bit of first aid training in there. Get that now while you can.
Mm-hmm.
Next on the list, a pair of heavy-duty leather high-top boots. You're going to be doing manual labor. You'll be doing it outside, and you need to protect your feet. The same thing applies to all your clothing. You need to shop where the construction workers and farmers shop for heavy-duty outdoor clothing that will protect your body and allow you to conduct these activities in a safe manner. Next on the list, at least two seasons worth of vacuum-packed heritage garden seeds. Make sure that they're not genetically modified because they won't the seeds won't reproduce very well, if at all. And if you're brand new to gardening, your first garden's probably not going to produce very much food. You need a mentor. You can't learn how to garden out of a book, quite frankly. You need an experienced gardener to tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it. Next on the list, a copy of Holly Deyo's book, the title of which is Dare to Prepare by Holly Deyo, D-E-Y-O. Website is standeyo.com. Excellent book. I've got a number in the genre, and I highly recommend her book as a kind of all-encompassing preparedness book. Next on the list, the paratrooper bicycle. It's a great plan B for transportation compared to boots. These are now being used by U.S. Army paratroopers in Iraq and Afghanistan, Marines. It is mil-spec, full-size mountain bike, aluminum frame, welded aluminum frame. It folds up to a package 12 inches by 28 inches by 36 inches. Now, my website, Jimmy, I've got two DVD sets, or two DVDs each.
Right.
Family Safely in Perilous Times, Volume 1 and Volume 2. They give some excellent outlines of skills and techniques, you know, things people can learn to help be prepared. My book, it's not my book, but I offered it at my website, Guide to Emergency Survival Communications. It's written in non-technical language. I know you're an engineer yourself. You can pick this up knowing nothing about radio frequency engineering.
Sure.
And learn what you need to know to be able to talk to your loved ones, have them talk to you, and intercept these emergency broadcasts from all the different agencies.
Sure.
Another excellent book for wilderness survival. It's the best one I've ever ran across, and I've got probably 8 or 10 in the genre. Six Ways In, 12 Ways Out. I just got in a fresh case, and they're ready for delivery. The men that wrote this are very no-nonsense. They're the cadre of the United States Search and Rescue Operations Group. Very well done book, pocket size, easy to put in your field jacket and keep it safe and with you to advise you along the way. So there's a lot to this, Jimmy, and
yes.
I encourage people to get prepared now while they can. There's no place in the United States that's safe from all hazards, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, volcanoes.
Right.
Every place has its threats. And we're having earthquakes where we never had earthquakes before.
Right, right. Well, I want to before we go, John. I want to go back to the communications thing. You know, it should be clear even for those who are only remotely paying attention. You know, think about it. You mentioned ham radio operators. I am a ham radio operator too.
So am I.
Yeah, and one of the things, of course, that we are supposed to get involved in is emergency communications.
Right.
During emergency situations.
Right.
And I recommend that if you know, look, they drop the code, folks. You don't have to know Morse code anymore. Get at
right.
least your first, the first level of license if you can. If you know anything
Actually,
at all.
Now, I think the first. In fact, I think they may have dropped the code for all licenses.
They did.
The first three.
Yeah, it's optional. It's optional now. If
right.
you want to do it, you can do it. That's a great endorsement, but you don't need to. But I would suggest if you're even remotely interested in amateur radio, get your license. It's not hard. You know, a little bit of study, you should be able to at least get on board with the technician class license.
Well, 10-year-old boys and girls routinely get their hands.
Sure, on. Sure they do. They have these clubs all over yeah. the United States. The ARRL has these clubs. They show young kids how to do it, and they get their license. It's not that
yeah.
hard.
Yeah, it can be a family hobby.
Sure. Well, because, of course, the big problem is that don't think for a moment, folks, that your cell phone's going to work.
No, you know? All it takes is system overload.
That's right.
Down.
And we saw that in New York during 9/11, and we saw
That's
it
right.
in Louisiana. And if it weren't for the hams, by the way, a lot of that emergency information would never have gotten through.
That's right. The hams always come through, don't they?
That's correct. John, I really appreciate you being on the show today. We're frankly just out of time. John Moore, ladies and gentlemen, again, the website, go check it out, libertyman.com, thelibertyman.com.
All right. My toll-free number is 800-592-9543.
There you go. Thelibertyman.com. Again, the number, 1-800-592-9543. John, thank you so much.
Thank
my friend.
You, Jimmy. Appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay. Stay tuned. More great programming coming up next here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. I'm Jimmy X. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you again next Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock Eastern. Have a great day.